We're hanging out here with Andrew from Echo Deck, and how are you?
I'm great.
Yeah.
I'm great.
Thanks for spending a moment or two with us here on Green Arrow Radio.
Oh, my pleasure. Good to make the connection across the border and certainly across the water whenever that happens too. So.
And now you're, are you in Toronto?
Just outside of Toronto, but yeah. About an hour west in a little hippie town called Guelph.
Before we get rolling on what you've been up to, in your own words, can you describe the being that is Echo Deck?
Well, it's certainly the kitchen sink in some respects, but I guess the basic premise of Echo Deck has been groove for certain, as you I'm sure have heard in the records.
I've grooved with it.
Obviously, a pretty strong kind of cultural connection, and by that I mean any culture that can sort of fit into the basic sort of template of groove and deep dubby bass and kind of exotic, I guess, instrumentation. You know?
Yeah, I agree completely with that assessment.
Yeah, so it's it actually started off as years ago, about 10 years ago, I did a record that I never actually released called Echo Deck Faux Jazz, which was more kind of in an acid jazz kind of down-tempo flavor. And it, you know, it did great on its own for what I did that record for. But I really was trying to, you know, kind of develop it more in an ethnic direction, a world groove kind of direction. And when I started working with these two African singers on the first record,
and let's chuck their names right out there.
Yeah,
especially because one is I want you to say, not me.
Yeah. I know. I wouldn't wish this on anyone, except perhaps somebody from Rwanda.
Yes.
You know, where one of the singers comes from. His name is Ignace Nichiro Shwamaboko.
Yes.
You see, even I can't get it right.
Did he have a nickname?
Yeah.
Was there a nickname for him? Nitrous? Like
not.
Nitrous?
Or at least that he was going to share with me.
Dang.
So he was a fellow I met here in town. He actually emigrated to Canada via the States, and originally from Rwanda. He got out when the genocide was happening down there. So he's definitely a survivor and has got many, many stories to tell, as you can imagine.
Beautiful. I imagine they come out soulfully in his voice.
Yeah, it's wonderful, wonderful guy, and just a real survivor in every sense of the word. So
cool.
And the other singer is from Mali. His name is Samba Diallo. He's just a guy who stumbled through town, you know, for no particular reason at the time, it seemed to me, but there was a larger connection to the city that I wasn't aware of at first glance. So those two guys sort of became the real kind of cultural conduit to that first record and kind of really actualized the world fusion concept of Echo Deck. I was certainly working instrumentally in that kind of field, but wasn't really, I hadn't really found the singers to kind of create the actual vocal presence of the record. So these guys really just gave me this huge template to kind of start developing it with.
And now, so officially, what is your role in Echo Deck? Because you're not. Are you vocals at all?
No. All the singers are guest singers.
Right.
I mean, I sing on my own records. I have my own records that I do. But the Echo Deck thing is really, you know, I'm sort of the guy behind the curtain, the wizard behind the curtain. You know.
Nice.
So I do most of the writing. You know, in some cases, I'm collaborating with the vocalists. Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, some of the melodies and that sort of thing. But yeah, basically I create all the basic tracks.
Programming and...
All the percussion, a lot of the bass. You know, I will bring in extra players. You know, the guys in my band have all played on the last record.
Yeah.
But initially it was me kind of putting the whole thing together and kind of creating the backing tracks and then bringing the vocalists in and then sort of building the songs from there. Once the vocals were sort of in place, it was then I could get a clearer picture of what else was needed. So yeah, I record them, I produce it, and write the records. So
right on.
And then kind of guide the band in the live situation, because we do try and keep it pretty loose.
Yeah,
live.
I imagine you do. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. I mean, we definitely run the technology behind us on some of the tracks, but a lot of it were, you know, sort of manipulating the vocal samples and certainly the grooves and all of instrumental part of it is as much live as we can do it. So that's cool. You know, it's nice to be able to make the transition from the record to the stage.
I'd like to check you guys out live sometime. And I'm looking at the schedule now, so I'm going to start making a plan. And we'll let people know how to get how they can get to you in a moment or two. But you do have a lot going on these days. And let's start with the you have a re-release coming out in North America.
Yeah.
Now is that of More Africa in Us?
No,
this is Voices Have Eyes.
Voices Have Eyes. Right. Yeah, yeah. More Africa in Us was re-released in North America in August, and then you know part of the deal that we signed in the States was basically to put both of the records out again, as I say, across the continent instead of just independently in Canada. So,
right.
So yeah, we're looking forward to you know the re-release in April, and
so that we can expect in April.
Yeah,
I think you have some featured vocalists.
Yeah, this one. If people have heard More Africa in Us, we kind of blow the template wide open for the next record.
Sequel.
Yeah, some fantastic singers on this one. Ignis does return on one track on the new record, but it's more kind of a chant, so it's not as obvious. But yeah, the new record's got a Kiran Alawalia, who is. Certainly making a stir in North America these days. She sings East Indian ghazal songs, which are love songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I tapped her for one vocal track. And there's a guy from Fiji that I met when I was doing some recording for Calabash down in Fiji a couple of years ago. He ended up contributing a couple of vocals. Oh, gosh, you know, a woman from Turkey on there, a fellow from Nigeria.
So this is a diverse and genre bending as can be.
Yeah, I just really wanted to, you know, with Voices Have Eyes, I really wanted to expand the palette a bit, not limit it just to the African continent in terms of, you know, the influence of the record, but also, you know, really trying to stay true to the vibe of the earlier of the first album.
I look forward to this sort of sequel album, and I definitely dig the title.
Yeah, oh, thank you.
And is there a track on there called Voices Have Eyes?
There is,
All right.
Yeah, sung by this lovely Turkish woman that I met in our local farmer's market, of all places.
Hey, you know?
You know, they're in your backyard sometimes. You don't
were you both reaching
it.
For the same banana, or?
Yeah. That was just, again, you know, so much serendipity has guided this project that, you know, she was just another example of that. So,
hey, sometimes that's the best thing to ride on.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, just roll with it.
Yeah, totally, man. It's so much about, you know, getting out of the way of the process if you can.
You recently you've collaborated on a project with Vue, Farka Touré.
Farka Touré, yeah.
And how did that whole process get going? I probably know of Vue.
Yeah, well, you know what? I wasn't that hip to him until a few months ago. I mean, I've been a huge fan of his father, Ali.
Oh, who wasn't?
Yeah, as many of us are, you know. He's certainly no secret to anyone. Actually, I got to see one of his last, I believe it was his last North American performance.
Oh, very good for you.
In Toronto a few years ago. He basically was, retiring back to Bamako and farming. And, you know, I think he really just ended up going back to recording and farming, you know.
Yeah, and he was, you know, he has a couple of tracks on this latest album.
On his son's record,
are beautiful tracks.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Just totally.
Doesn't that guitar just remind you of water? You know, the essential in life, water.
Yeah.
That guitar, man. Oh.
Yeah, it's definitely got the elements, you know, clearly running through it.
Clearly.
I can definitely hear the dirt, and I can hear the creaky buildings, and
yep, all of that.
You know, there's a tradition that just breathes through that instrument.
It's magical.
Particularly through his style of playing, you know.
And then when if you close your eyes, it sounds exactly the same.
It's pretty scary, you know.
When he wants to sound like his father, it is.
Yeah, no, it's spooky. He's really he's really harnessed obviously a huge chunk of, you know, his father's voice that way. So.
And at first, his father didn't want anything to do with it.
This is what I've been reading in the bio material, that, you know, he just kind of had to sort of secretly pursue his, and then, View had to kind of secretly pursue his passion and then surprise his dad, you know?
And then Tumani Diabate said, you know, you got to let him, he's good.
Yeah.
You got to let the kid do, and I saw him live the other day, let me tell you.
Oh.
He's got the package.
Yeah.
He's five tools. He's got it all.
It sounds like he's been dazzling people everywhere he goes.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's great on stage. He sings and dances well. But so how did it get started? Now,
a friend of mine I was introduced to a few years ago. He's a journalist. His name is Derek Barris.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a member of Globe Sonic, which is a New York-based DJ collective and promotions company. They promote and will DJ themselves huge sort of world fusion events.
Nice.
Anyway, Derek had become a fan of Echo Deck and had done some really nice pieces on us in Global Rhythm Magazine down the States. And so, you know, we just kind of hit it off, you know. There was a very simpatico sensibility there in our thinking. And so I was down in New York City in October promoting More Africa and Us, and did a couple of DJ nights down there. And Derek and I ended up hanging for a couple of days. We've become pretty good friends. Just strolling along the street, chatting about stuff. And he mentioned that Modiba, which is View's label in the U.S., was looking at putting out a remix album of all of the material that was on the studio record, and Derek had basically approached these guys at Modiba, Jesse and Eric, about executive producing an album of remixes as a companion record to the studio album. Derek just sort of looked at me at one point and said, "Geez, man, I can't believe I didn't ask you. I know how much you love Malian music. Do you want to do a mix?" And I said, "Are you kidding? Like,
dang yeah,
Ali Farkatura's son? Like, absolutely,
uh-huh.
I'm in. Yeah. So just let me know what I got to do, and I'm yours. So
yeah. And I heard your track already.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's hot.
Oh, thank you.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you, brother. Yeah.
I'm I might be spinning them on my show. Certainly not this week. I want to give it another week, but I'm going to be spending at least one or two soon.
Oh, fantastic.
And that one's right up there on the top.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, it
awesome.
Was really hot, coupled with Views stuff. Oh, it's just a good idea. It was a swell idea. Whoever came up with that idea, man, was it Derek?
Yeah, it was
smart.
Derek's baby. And, Derek is he's a world music journalist, so
yeah.
his knowledge of not only roots music but fusion music is just exhaustive. I've never mm-hmm. met anyone who has come across and written about more sources of music. And
well, I'd like to meet this Derek.
Yeah, he's
a great, sounds like
great
a cool guy,
and he's hugely loved by the music community.
Yeah,
I keep finding this out as the release party in New York on the weekend was evidence of that. He just filled the room with
with love,
all kinds of people that are hip to this stuff and are drawn to it. So when you see people from like the Putumayo label and Giant Step and
when they're kicking around and smiling and laughing,
floating around the room, it's like, okay, you're in the right place.
Yeah,
I
stumbled on the right party tonight.
Yeah, that's it. I've got the right address. Yeah,
glad I'm dressing like I work here tonight.
yeah. It was amazing to be kind of the only non-American. Asked to come and remix a track. I feel very, included in that
right.
family of wicked remixers. You got guys like Kersh Kale and Yossi Fine from Eccentric Sound System.
Chebi Sabah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, in Nicodemus, it's like amazing crew of artists and
it really
producers.
Is. It really is, and I'm glad it didn't seem like anyone turned down a project.
No.
It seemed like they got yeses and whees on everything.
Yeah, exactly.
I really think they did. And the Eric and Jesse are nice fellas. I really think it's a nice family atmosphere there at Modiba and for View.
Yeah, it's really, I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah.
It's like the sense of inclusion and just the desire to see it happen.
Yeah. Oh,
not necessarily,
gosh.
To be sort of self-centered in the project. It's really about, well, okay, how do I fit into this larger picture?
And they they're willing to welcome others in there and mm-hmm. Make a go of it for sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be a nice family his whole career. I look forward to watching him, but I also look forward to watching what you're up to.
Oh, thanks, brother.
Because you got lot of things, you know, happening, and I also hear through the grapevine that you're involved in some kind of, is it a Bob Marley compilation?
Yeah, well, the Marley thing was, again, just another strange thing to stumble upon. My manager is a fellow who has certainly spent a lot of time in these circles over the years, and, you know, DJed, and, you know, he's very hip to the not only the roots world of global music, but also fusion. And Fabian Al-Sultani, who is also one of the remixers on the Farka Touré project, mm-hmm. and partners with Derek Barris in the Globe Sonic crew. He was originally the A&R director at Palm Pictures in New York, and I guess he's got a great relationship with Chris Blackwell just because of the Palm Association.
Sure.
Had, you know, essentially approached him about, you know, putting together a Bob Marley tribute record, but not one where people, you know, basically do reggae covers of Bob Marley, because why would you? the template has been more than well established.
You don't belong there.
Yeah, we're not going to
do anything better with that.
No, we're not going to improve on the original.
Yeah, no.
So through his obvious, you know, huge Rolodex, he connected with a number of artists to, you know, basically say, hey, you know, here are the tracks. This, we'd love to hear your take on this, but, you know, last thing I want to hear is a reggae groove.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least not, that's not the first thing I want to hear.
Yeah, so, right, right.
If it somehow makes its way into there, great. But he and my manager were speaking about, the First Nations, Native Indian, the fact that sort of has not really made its way into the light in terms of fusion or cross-pollination, or at least not done it tastefully. There's lots of pretty cheesy Native Indian or First Nations records that are out there that are, you know, sort of cross-genre that they just haven't gotten it right.
Yeah, they don't cut it. Yeah.
It's really sort of bad sampling and not really sort of acknowledging the source, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what he proposed to Fabian was that Echo Deck, or me in this case, work up a track with one of his other clients, who is a Canadian First Nations recording artist, and try and do a version of Buffalo Soldier that spoke from the First Nations perspective.
Mm.
Because I don't know if you know the story of the Buffalo Soldier.
Oh, yes.
It's a pretty powerful powerful story, and certainly seen through the lens of, First Nations.
It gets even more power behind it.
Yeah,
it's like
absolutely.
A thunderstorm of power, I imagine.
Very, very resonant, you know,
and
quite a statement. So Fabian was all over it. He said, well, you know what? You've got my blessing. You know, I look forward to what you guys put together. Anyway, the long and the short of it is I've worked up this track with Wayne Lavallee, the other artist who's based in Vancouver. So we spent a weekend in the summer just tracking vocals and frame drums and things like this. And then it's sort of been an on-again, off-again project. I kind of have to put it down every now and then to work on other records. But, basically finishing that up this week and hoping that Fabian will be able to sign off. And then he's taking it to, he's taking the album to Six Degrees.
Oh, good,
who
good.
Who is intending to release it.
Oh, boy.
In the near future. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, you got guys like Antibalas are on there. I'm pretty sure that Eccentric Sound System is doing something. There was word that the Roots were involved. You know, I don't know what the confirmed list is on this, but these were all people that were being approached. Ben Harper apparently had been talked to. So, you know, some pretty fine company.
Some pretty good company to be in there, Andrew.
Yeah, we'll see where it finally
lands.
Who's
this Andrew McPherson guy, anyway?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, who invited him?
Who
to
invited
the
him?
Table?
Once, yeah, hey, make the most of this experience for sure. And I have a feeling you're going to be just all right.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of serendipity guiding this thing, and you just do what you do, and hope that the world, you know, is receptive. So,
well, I certainly am receptive. So whenever you want to kick any of that stuff my way, I'll spin it.
Absolutely,
you
man.
Know what I'm saying? We'll get it out there for some of these thirsty ear holes to drink up.
Yeah, well, certainly. I'm assuming you've got most of the Via Farcature remixes at this point.
I have most of them in my email.
Oh, great.
So I'm terrific. Good with that, and I'm going to be spinning your album, you know, this Saturday around this interview.
Oh, fantastic.
And then I look forward to the new one coming, Voices Have Eyes, in April.
Yeah.
And now if people want to get in touch with you, or not in touch with you necessarily, let's say this. If people want to learn more about you, or you have a website, I'll just run right to it. You have a website?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There you can go to my site, which will give you all Echo Deck and all sorts of, there's all sorts of treats and tricks up there. And that's you can get there either by echodeck.com, which is ECCODEK.com, or it'll also subdomain to me, which is andrewmcpherson.ca. That's probably a little chunkier to remember.
Yeah, Echo Deck will probably work.
Yeah, Echo Deck is probably the simplest way to get there. Or the MySpace page as well, which is just, you know, myspace.com/Echo Deck.
There you go.
Yeah, and lots of great people, you know, on there as friends as well, other great artists that are certainly worth people's attention. So
I want to thank you for hanging out.
Well, it's just so great for you to reach out, G, for a chat, and it's so amazing to hear that, you know, the music is getting out. Who knew?
We're the hub of all that's good, man.
That's right.
WHUS. Yeah, we're the hub of what's good.
That's awesome.
So thanks for hanging out, and we'll stay in touch.
My pleasure.
And I look forward to catching you down the road. Maybe even someday we'll get you here.
Well, we're hoping we're certainly hoping, you know, working on trying to get the band over the border and to do some playing. Certainly, you know, the Eastern Seaboard states have all been pretty receptive to the record. So
yeah, you'll do nicely in New York City.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So I look forward to that day.
Awesome.
Cool, man.
All right, my
friend.
Thanks
for hanging.
You bet.
Peace.
Take care.
Bye.